So Easter Sunday is coming, as Chip said, 2 weeks from now, and I just want to encourage you. This is the opportunity of a lifetime. This is your chance to be an evangelist. You know, people are very open to being invited to church on Easter. They say something like 8 out of 10 people who are actually invited to go to church on Easter will say yes. 8 out of 10 people. So I just want to encourage you to be open and praying about who you could invite. Is there a neighbor, a coworker, a relative, a friend, even a stranger? And so we've got these cards. We're collecting these. If you want us to be praying with you, that first of all, God would give you the opportunity to reach out to them and invite them, and that God would be preparing their heart. That, you know, I've invited 4 different families over the past 3 weeks, and it is just as the statistics say, every single one of them said, yeah, sure, I'll come. So, I mean, it's really that easy. Now, you know, whether they come or not, I think sometimes there's spiritual activity going on that may hinder them, but I'm going to pray and do some follow-up. So, you know, give people a card from the flyer that's in the bulletin. Give them that card so they have a map. They know how to get here. And if you want us to pray, we're praying over these names during the week, and I'm praying specifically, first of all, I'm praying that God fills this building to the max. I mean, you know, we can seat about 650, we can handle 700 in the building. It would be capacity, but it would just be so fun. It would just be great to see that kind of activity here. But even one step further, it's not just numbers in the building. I'm praying that God touches these people's hearts, that they start thinking about the importance of God in their life and what part church plays. And so this is an opportunity to get people in church and start going, you know, maybe I should be going on Sunday, and then an opportunity for people to get saved. I'm praying that 10 people open their hearts to Christ on Easter Sunday, and I want you to pray with me and be a part of it, and let's see what God does. But let's just pray over these names right now. So, Father, I pray, as we have been praying all week, over every single name, God, the son, the daughter, the relative, the coworker, the neighbor, God, that today you would be just stirring thoughts in their minds like, maybe we should go to church on Easter. And that, God, they would be invited, they would respond, and God, that you would protect them so that something doesn't interfere. And then we're praying, God, for those that need to come to the realization that they need you as their Lord, that they need to open their hearts to you. God, that you could bring people into a saving knowledge on Easter Sunday. So we just speak life into every one of these cards and the names on every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So also on Easter, this will be our 27th year doing this. We are giving the offering. The entire offering goes toward one of these 3 options. You have choices this year. We had 2 last year. This year we have 3. And you know, the one in Brazil is for the clean water filters. We have a sample made here. Last year we actually tried it out. I think it was Rob that actually came up and said he would drink the mud water we put in there. But these filters are really incredible, and they're being distributed on the Amazon in Brazil. And then also we have our Vietnam purchasing wheelchairs. Now we're getting them for $50 made in Vietnam. We have one of the older ones that we were getting out in the foyer, but we have a new design, and hopefully we can get one shipped from Vietnam here so you can see it. But $50, you change somebody's life. $50. And then the new one this year is the Haiti mission. I just got back, and you can feed like a child who doesn't get any food. This is just absolutely almost unbelievable, but they get no food except the one meal that's being fed them by the missionary that we're going to be working with. $180 feeds them for an entire year. $180. So you can affect 3 different countries. And I just want to tell you, I just want to say these are amazing ministries. So I can vouch for you. I've been to Vietnam twice. I went to Brazil last year. I just got back from Haiti, and I felt like part of the reason I needed to go was to get hands-on experience, make sure what's really being done and what we're being told is really being done. And I can tell you, this is good. These 3 ministries are advancing the kingdom of God, telling people about Jesus who need God in their life, but also helping people in very practical ways, people who are so poor and so needy. And that no one's getting rich off of this. No one's taking a cut off the top. This is direct going into the care and the ministry of people all over the world. So I'm vouching for them, telling you this is a great, great opportunity. And I'm just praying. So last year for Easter, our offering was $73,000. $73,000. It just kind of scares me a little bit, but that was incredible. We bought 820 chairs that were sent to Vietnam. It's putting us over 5,000 chairs that we've sent. Now also Laos, Cambodia, and then we bought 163 water filters. So next Sunday, we're hoping that we're going to be able to do a live Skype call with our new missionary in Brazil, and he's the one we're working with to deliver these water filters. We'll be taking a team down there June of this year to deliver the water filters, and we'll also be hearing from our Vietnam team. Some of them just got back early this morning. The rest are getting back in the next couple of days. We'll be hearing from them next week. So just a little information. I'm going to share a couple of other things. Don't worry, I'll give you... We'll have some scripture reading, but I won't, you know, won't go too long. But I just want to say, so speaking about traveling to all these different places, you know, first of all, it's never been on my bucket list to travel the world. It's just, I think God sometimes has a sense of humor. It would be the last thing on my list to want to go to these countries, and I end up going. And not only that, but the last 6 weeks, just the last 6 weeks, I have been all over the place. I mean, like 6 weeks ago, my daughter Stephanie just had a baby, and she was in Chicago, and she had some real difficulties with the delivery, so Roxanna was there for almost a month. I flew out there. Her baby's healthy, a little baby girl, for which we're happy, a little baby girl, Vera, but she had some difficulty. But anyway, I was out there, and then I got back, and then as soon as I got back, I had to head out for a Vineyard Pastors Conference, and the conference was down southern Ohio, but it was for the Ohio Vineyard Pastors. And so I got back on a Saturday night, and then I left the following Monday, headed out to Haiti with Steve Fitter and getting to know the Haiti missionary. I got back a few days later, and then I just headed out to California. Roxanne and I were out in California for a week. That was the Vineyard National Leaders Conference, and we spent a week out there, and then we just got back. And I'm telling you, wow. My head is spinning, and I think we got back Sunday night, and I know I got up Monday morning. I'm thinking, I don't know, man. I'm just going to walk around in a daze, you know. So first of all, I want to say this. I want to say thank you to the church staff that we have here, all of our staff people. Chip especially really have done a fantastic job keeping things moving along here in the last 6 weeks. I really have practically not been here, and I just want to tell you folks, we have an awesome staff. We really, really do. This is wonderful, wonderful. I mean, nothing missed a beat. These folks are committed to the mission of what we're trying to do here, and it really brought me peace knowing I just couldn't be here. I just haven't been here for almost 6 weeks, but I'm here now, and I'm happy to be back. Only have one more trip this year, and that'll be the one in Brazil, and I told Chip probably that's my last trip. After that, he's heading those up. Lord, you know, if God in his mercy, that's fine with me. So, but you know what? I want to share a little bit with you about the conference we just got back from. This, again, was the National Leadership Conference. Roxanne and I are area leaders in the Vineyard Association, so we helped oversee a number of churches in this area heading all the way to Pennsylvania. I just want to tell you, this really, I'm going to put it down as probably one of the absolute best conferences I have ever been to in my entire life. And let me tell you, I have been to a lot of conferences, pastors' conferences, but I just want you to know the Vineyard movement is healthy. The Vineyard movement is on the go. There is great stuff happening. We're real clear on our conservative biblical values. We are not straying from that. There's no doubt about that. We are real clear on our understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the importance of believing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is just healthy. We got to see something that's been talked about for a long time, and that was the transition of leadership. So the Vineyard Association's about, you know, maybe going on 30 years old, but a little over 30 years, but there have been people serving on the national board since the beginning. And at this National Leadership Conference, about half of them are retiring, and stepping off the board, and they were honored for their many years of service. And what was so exciting is these young pastors, area leaders from all over the country stepping in on the board. We got to eat breakfast and lunch with a number of them. I'm telling you, these people are on fire. I mean, they are on fire just planting vineyard churches and just doing the work, doing the stuff of Jesus. And it really, really was encouraging. I'm so blessed with our national leader. Phil Stroud is our national leader going on his second term, a five-year term. This guy is incredible. He's out of Massachusetts, but he is really helping the Vineyard Association build structure and organization, because we, you know, some of you know our history, some of you don't, but the Vineyard Association is the outgrowth of the Jesus People movement of the 60s and 70s, and that whole kind of mentality is just sort of let everything happen, don't worry about it, everything will just happen, you know, no leadership, no structure, just sort of being hippies kind of thing, but God has blessed it. But we're moving into second and third generation, and in order for this organization to impact generations to come and generations to come, we need some structure, we need some organization. This guy is really bringing it on. Right now, folks, right now, we are close to almost 200,000 people in the United States who call Vineyard Church their church family. 200,000, almost 600 Vineyard churches in the United States, 3,000 worldwide and growing. I am so blessed to be a part of this organization. This is really wonderful. And what really was exciting, I got to show you this stuff. So they gave our church an award. We were called out, Vineyard Community Church of Etna Township. They called us out, and I said, okay. So they gave us this award, Heroic Givers. Vineyard Community Church was recognized as one of the top givers in the Vineyard Association. This is really incredible. We also received a recognition for effective evangelism. They had an acronym, EEC, Effective Evangelism Church, and they call us now an EEC Church. We are an EEC Church, and she thought that was pretty funny, the lady goes, and these are the following EEC churches. But they recognized our church for our efforts in helping people find Christ and developing a relationship with Jesus. And I tell you, I was so proud of our church. I was thinking, we are blessed, folks. We are really, really blessed. And you folks are generous givers. I mean, it's really wonderful. So it was just a fantastic conference. And so we've been part of the Vineyard going on about officially, I think, 13 years, but we really started tying in almost 20 years ago. But I've always felt like I loved what the Vineyard was doing, but I just have to say, I never really made the connection maybe as I did this time. I just want you to know, I love the Vineyard Association. I really, really do. And this is my tribe. The Vineyard churches are our tribe, and you guys are blessed to be in a Vineyard church. Let me tell you, we're making a difference. We're going to affect the country and the world for the kingdom of God. How do you like being part of something like that? This just isn't a small group, you know. Wow. So I want to just take a few minutes this morning, though, just talk a little bit about giving, because we're preparing our hearts for the Easter service. And we got recognized for being generous givers, and I was just thinking, wow, you know, what's the thing about giving? What are some things that play into giving? So I want to read this morning, if you have your Bibles, read with me the story about Jesus telling the parable. It's in the Gospel of Luke, and it's in chapter 12. Verse 15, this is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This story just kind of has gripped me over the past month or in the travels, especially going to some of these third world countries. But I think every time we read scripture, that especially stories Jesus told about people who were rich, I think we have a tendency to think the rich people he was talking about must be like today's rich would be like Bill Gates. He must have been talking about Bill Gates here, or Warren Buffett, or Mark Zuckerberg, or Jim Bezos, the Amazon. You know, he's talking about those people. But I'm here to tell you that probably not talking about them. Realistically, I think he was talking about us in America. I really do. You know, if you do any Googling and research about rich people in the world, not just America, but rich people in the world, do you know if you make, now listen to this, if you make $10,000 a year, $10,000 a year, first of all, like a high school student can make $10,000 a year if they want to work, and so could a college student make $10,000 in a year? Pretty much anybody who wants to work can make $10,000 a year in the United States. If you make $10,000 a year, you are richer than 84% of the entire world population. So that means like you're in like 5 billion people or more make less than you if you make $10,000. If you make $50,000, you're in the top 1% richest people in the world. Means 99% of all the people in the world, of the 6 billion plus, 99% make less than you if you make $50,000 a year. So I think sometimes we have to take a look at what do the scriptures mean when it talks about rich man, the rich man. Who's the rich man? You know, when I was in Haiti, we all know Haiti is like one of the poorest countries in the world. And we were in the northern part of Haiti, which is like the poorest of the poor country. And then we were in a part of the city, which is the poorest of that city. So I'm telling you, we saw some poverty, just unbelievable poverty. But what really kind of caught my eye, as you're walking through the streets, almost on every corner is a lotto booth to play the lotto. Almost on every corner. And I said to the pastor, look at this, man. This is so sad. You know, they take advantage of poor people and they want them to play the lotto. And we got to talking about, you know, I'm sure you've heard people say this, you know, I play the lotto and I told God if I win, you know, I'll give so much money to the church. And the pastor said to me, he goes, you know, when people say that to me, he goes, I always tell them, what are you talking about? You already won the lotto. He goes, you're born in America, man. You won the lotto. And I said, man, you know, that'll preach, you know. That'll preach like, wow, man, I won the lotto. I was born in America. Everybody's not born in America. I was born in America. I won the lotto. I mean, we are so rich. Just some of the things that stood out to me, especially in these travels these past couple years. First of all, we have got some of the best infrastructure in the entire world. We've got paved roads and highways and bridges. We have utilities like gas and electric that come to our house and we think nothing of it. We drink clean water. We have free education from K through 12. We have parks and we've got libraries. We have a military that is so powerful, we never think about being attacked. We just take it for granted. And I mean, we've got so much. And on top of that, I believe, this is my take on this, I believe we have free health care in this country. I know the fake media makes it sound like nobody gets medical care, but listen, folks, it's common knowledge. Anybody who goes to an American hospital emergency room will never be turned away, ever, ever, ever. This country provides free emergency medical care for anybody who goes to the hospital. Plus, we've got free clinics, medical clinics all over this country. Now, can our medical system use help? Yes, it can. We've got food in this country, enough to feed everybody. We've got food banks all over the country. Right here in Columbus, we have food banks that are loaded with food. We are rich. And here's the other thing. On top of that, we have half of this population in this country does not pay one penny in federal income tax. Zero. Absolutely nothing. Not one penny. Half of the American population pays zero in federal income tax. As a matter of fact, many of them get a check from the federal government for thousands of dollars. Not only do they not pay, but they get a check. So I think maybe we need to just rethink our understanding. Who's the rich that Jesus is talking about? And maybe what we ought to think about is, are we getting the wrong view of the rich because we're comparing ourselves to the wrong people? Well, yeah, if I compare myself to Bill Gates, well, you know, he's rich, I'm not. But maybe that's not what the scriptures are talking about. And you know, the truth is, I think if you ask anybody, any normal, healthy person, you know, you talk about giving, I'm pretty sure I've never met anyone in my life who's ever said to me, oh, I don't want to share my wealth. I want to spend it all on me. I mean, nobody who's healthy thinks that way, right? I mean, everybody wants to give, and there are misers out there. They're few and far between, and yes, there are unhealthy people that have had some bad situation, and they don't want to share. But most everybody, I think you would agree with me, everybody wants to give, but somehow we get caught up in this concept, and we can't figure it out, we want to live a life that makes a difference. We want to make an impact, but we end up finding some people find they just spend all their money on themselves, their family, and maybe a few friends. But in fact, it is giving which is one of the best ways to make an impact. Giving and sharing our wealth really is like world travel. Our money will take us places when we give, places we'll probably never go. You can give and reach people on the Amazon. You may never go there. You can give and your money will put a person in a wheelchair in a communist country and they'll be told about Jesus and their life will be changed. I mean, your money allows you to get beyond yourself. But here's the question. Why is it, or what's the number one hindrance? What holds us back from giving? Well, I think this story kind of gives a little bit of an insight here. I think the number one reason that we don't give is because we think we don't have enough. We really think we don't have enough. And here's the question. When is enough? Like, when is enough? Like, if you're making $10,000, you'll say, well, I don't have enough to give because I'm barely making it. So if I make $15,000, then I'll start to give. But then you make $15,000, and then what happens? Well, I'm not really making enough to give. So when I make $30,000, I'll have enough to give then. And then you make 30 and you go, I really don't have enough. We're barely getting by. We're barely paying the bills. When I make 75, then I'll have enough to give. And then you make 75 and guess what happens? You don't have enough to give and you make 150. I mean, you see a pattern here? There's some kind of pattern here. And it's this pattern of a mindset that says, I don't have enough. I'm short here. I need more. And so this is the story Jesus is telling. He's not saying that we should not want more wealth. This is not a story about extolling poverty. I think sometimes people get the total wrong impression of Jesus. They see Jesus as some pauper, but he was not poor. First of all, think about this. In 3 years preaching, he started a crusade ministry that ended up having 12 men on full-time salary in 3 years. He had to be getting some money. He had a treasurer for his ministry, and the treasurer also didn't just pay the bills, but the treasurer had money to give to the poor. We're told that people gave to Jesus' ministry. One of them was the wife of one of the cabinet members of the king, King Herod. You would assume they had some money. So Jesus is not saying, you really should be poor. I think what he's challenging is, what's the motive for more wealth? What's the motive for more wealth? And if the motive is what this guy says, well, I'll pull down my barns and I'll build bigger ones, and then I'll say, hey, it's all about me. So, you know, take ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. If the motive is, I want to spend it all on myself, that's a problem. That's a serious problem. And so maybe what we just need to do is every now and then just check ourselves out and say, it's okay to want more. It is fine. Poverty is not an indication of godliness, but are we seeking for the wealth to gain more for ourselves, or are we seeking it to be part of sharing and advancing the kingdom of God? And the best way to do it is just take a look at your giving. If you're not giving now, probably you're going to get stuck like this guy. I think this is the warning Jesus is saying. He's thinking, I've got plenty of time. Only he goes, yeah, but verse 20, but God said, your time's up. Guess who's knocking at your door before you know it? The Grim Reaper's knocking, and he's going, hey, time to check out. No, I meant to do more. You keep waiting and you keep waiting and you keep waiting. It's an exhortation to say, live it now. Especially to us, we are Americans. We've got wealth more than 80, 90% of the entire world. And so I take this parable to heart. I believe I'm the rich man. I know I'm the rich man, and I'm living my life so that I make sure that I'm sharing my wealth. I'm always trying to learn how to make more money. I think that's part of the challenge of life. But as I make more money, I increase my giving. And I'm trying to be really careful that I'm giving to people that are really in need. That's why I'm so blessed with these three mission programs we have. Wow. I just have never seen poverty like this ever. And I know we're making a difference. And so I just want to encourage you. You know, we've got 2 weeks for Easter. And I have no problem telling you, you really ought to pray about giving a large sum of money. Give sacrificially. Make it so that you're challenged and see what God does. And be a part of an opportunity. So Easter is definitely one of the big, it's a high day of the year. It's the best time to go fishing. We talked about past couple weeks ago about go fish, becoming fishers of men. If there's ever a time to become a fisher of men, I can tell you Easter is. Easter is that time. But then also, I just challenge you, ask God if he thinks you won the lotto. Just ask him. You know, I've never played the lotto in my entire life. I have no intention to, but I think I've got a clear perspective now. I already won the lotto. Wow, man, I am rich, rich, rich. And for that, I am grateful to God, and I hope you are as well. But I just want to make sure that I'm honoring God with my wealth, and I'm sharing and being a part of advancing the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we were born in America. Whoa. We didn't do anything to earn it, but God, we are so grateful. Wow. Thank you for the wealth and the abundance of wealth we get to share in, God. The wonderful things that we participate in and use that we don't even think about. And God, I thank you for our financial wealth, every one of us, God, that we are the wealthiest people in the world. Just speak to us, Lord. Speak to us about sharing our wealth and what part we can play, God. And I pray you prepare us for a jaw-dropping Easter service, God, that we see people come to the church that are open to your Holy Spirit, God, that we give with joyful hearts and excitement, knowing that we get to make a difference in people's lives. God, I just want to thank you for being part of this church. I'm so blessed. We've got a great church family. Thank you for our Vineyard church family, God. Continue to guide the leadership, Lord, that we can build an organization that stays true to your word, true to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and dedicated to advancing your kingdom throughout the world, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. We'll take our offering. Let's just stay in the presence of the Lord here. I can just feel the Holy Spirit. My heart's like fluttering. I just thank you, Father. You know, sometimes it's like being hugged. It's healthy, it's healing. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just hover among us, hover above us, stir us. Just come, Holy Spirit. I just sense that the Holy Spirit wants to just bring some healing. Somebody here this morning, or a couple people dealing with respiratory issues, struggling to breathe. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants to open those passageways this morning. Anybody here this morning dealing with that? Just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit just to bring healing, release you, and give you the ability to breathe. Anybody this morning? All the way in the back there, I see Scott's got his hand up. Anybody else? Just hold your hand. We're going to pray. The Holy Spirit's just, sometimes it's like a dancing hand of God. He's just touching. And just keep your hearts open. Let the Holy Spirit come. Just, you know, I just feel like God wants to bring some healing. So if you just, there's something you need prayer for, just hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you this morning. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and get the germs out and the sickness and the swelling and the infection and all this stuff. Sometimes we just get overwhelmed with it. Just come, Holy Spirit. Just hold your hand up. Let the Holy Spirit come. If you're standing by somebody who's got their hand up, just stand with them. Put your hand on them. We're going to pray. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we just release your Holy Spirit. Just come right now in the name of Jesus. Dave, the Holy Spirit's just resting on you right now there. Just in the name of Jesus, just come. Come on. Sickness, germs, disease, in the name of Jesus. Get out. Just come, Holy Spirit. Bring healing. Open those airways. They can breathe, God. Thank you for bringing them here this morning, Holy Spirit. If you raised your hand for struggling with breathing, just breathe right now. In the name of Jesus, just take it in. The name of Jesus right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you. We thank you that you are still a God who cares for us. Come, Holy Spirit. Just let him come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just stay in the presence of the Lord. We're going to close up here with a song. And you know, if you want to come up front, sometimes we just encourage you. Sometimes it's good at the end of a service just to come up and maybe just, what they call it, do some business with God. Just pray or just worship before him freely. But we just invite you to come forward if you'd like. We're going to close with a song. Also, just one real quick, I just got this sense in my spirit. As I was talking this morning about how blessed we are as a church, I just got this sense there's some of you here who've just not connected with us as a church. And I just feel compelled this morning to tell you, listen, you're missing out. And we invite you, and I compel you to take the class next week, the Next Step class. Find out what does it mean to become a part of this church. We don't have formal membership, but I'm telling you, you want to be part of a church family. And you don't want to be disconnected. We are so blessed. But I just know some of you here, maybe you've been coming for a short time or a long time, have just never really made the connection. And it's not like God wants to take from you. It's like God wants to bring you into a family and bless you. So I just encourage you, come next week, take that Next Step class. All right? So we're going to close with a song. I just invite you to just keep your hearts open to the Holy Spirit.
We sang earlier that God is fighting for us. One of my favorite Bible verses is Exodus 14:14. It says, "The Lord himself will fight for you. All you have to do is be calm." God invites us to take part in the battles he's fighting for us, and all we have to do is be calm and just praise his name. And that's how we fight our battles. And this is how I fight my battles. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. 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 how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Sing it, babe, look. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
The Lord is fighting for you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
Thank you, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, that concludes our service this week. Remember.